Sometimes just a few words or names can really set the scene and draw up a number of emotions in our heart. And I think as we hear the beginning of this gospel today from Luke, that's kind of what happens for me. We hear those names, just to hear them, Gabriel, Nazareth, and Galilee, Joseph, Mary. We know something special is going to happen here. We know that story, and all we have to hear are those names, and the whole story comes to our mind. But today, I'd like to draw our attention to another name in this story, one that would have a similar kind of effect on any good Jew at the time of the coming of the Messiah. And that is the mention of the name of David. It's not insignificant that Luke includes that the man's name was Joseph of the house of David. Our first reading today tells us about King David. He was the greatest king in the history of Israel. And in our first reading, we see today that God makes a sacred covenant with David. After he has conquered the Holy Land, as God asked him, and he's safe in his royal palace, David gets the idea in his mind, well, here I am in a great palace, while the Ark of God is still in the tent that we used to pitch in the wilderness when we were wandering. We're done wandering, so I have a house. I need to make a house for God. It seems like a good idea, a noble idea. But interestingly, God sends the prophet Nathan to talk to David. And he says to him, no, David, I don't want you to build me a house. Rather, I will build a house for you. Now, what's going on here is a little bit of a play on words in the Hebrew. Because in Hebrew, the word for house can mean a house like David had in mind for God. But house also means in Hebrew a royal house, a dynasty, a royal family. The house of David refers to his family tree and his dynasty. God is telling David, I promise to make of you a great dynasty. There will always and forever be a king of your line to rule over my people. It's a beautiful kind of image. But sadly, things seem to go tragically wrong not long after this. David is indeed a great king. But Solomon, his son, although he starts off well praying for wisdom, somehow he goes wrong and ends up taxing his people and persecuting them to the point where his sons divide the kingdom in two. There's the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And of course, divided, they become weak. They're attacked in the north and taken into exile and never seen again, these so-called lost tribes of Israel. And the two tribes in the south in 587 BC are eventually taken captive to Babylon. And the last king in the line of David witnesses his sons murdered before him, and then as a kind of last act of spite, after observing the murder of all his sons, they put out his eyes and lead him blind into captivity in Babylon. It seems that God's promise has gone so tragically wrong. Does God not fulfill his promise? The beautiful family tree of David that was supposed to go on forever has been chopped down and reduced to a stump, apparently dead. But it is to this situation that the great prophet Isaiah of Advent speaks those words that can seem so puzzling. He says, a shoot shall sprout from the stump of Jesse. Jesse is the father of King David. So the tree of Jesse is this great family tree of the dynasty of the house of David, cut off and apparently dead. We love Christmas trees at Christmas, but you know, perhaps a better image is this stump of Isaiah. We could sing, O Christmas stump, O Christmas stump. I don't know, it doesn't have quite the same ring, but to a Jew, to hear Isaiah say that a shoot will sprout from this dead stump is a sign of great hope and promise. Maybe God has not forgotten his covenant. And it's into that context today that Luke begins this beautiful story of the birth of Jesus. Gabriel sent to Nazareth. Those words wouldn't necessarily bring up any great connotations. Nazareth only had about 25 families in it at the time of Jesus. Nothing significant there. Joseph, an ordinary name. But Joseph of the house of David. Immediately they'd be like, whoa, whoa, wait a minute. This man is of the house of David? We thought it's gone. How could he be a descendant of David? And they would hear that of the house of David, this man will have a son? Great joy, great anticipation would come from hearing these words. Just as these words draw the whole story of Christmas out of us, to hear that there's a man of the house of David that is about to have a son after so many years of exile, this would bring great joy to the Jewish people. Kings meant prosperity. They meant safety, protection from enemies. So this baby that is to be born, as described by St. Luke, we know is also the great King of Kings. Jesus is the one. He is the shoot that sprouts from the stump of Jesse. He is the one that we know rules over God's people forever. Jesus fulfills this great prophecy. And just as the kings of old, Jesus offers us protection, security, prosperity. Jesus is to reign over us forever. How are we doing welcoming our king? How should we welcome a king? Are we preparing a royal way for the coming of our king at Christmas? Kings make demands. We're not just on an equal footing with a king. Rather, we are the king's subjects. We see this even a bit in the new translation of our Mass. The language is a bit more elevated. It's a bit more kingly, courtly. Humbly we beseech thee, O God. We pray thee, O Lord, grant us. All this language reminds us that we are subjects of a great king. If you go to the little town of Bethlehem today and you go to the spot where Jesus was born, there's a star on the ground, a metal star. And people see that and they love to put your hand right in the middle of it to touch the very stone on which the Christ child was laid. But what many people miss is that star has 14 points around the outside of it. In Hebrew, the way that you would name somebody is often according to the number of their name. You would take the consonants of their name and add them together and get a number. In David's case, Daleth is the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Vav is the sixth. And so David's name in Hebrew is D-V-D. Daleth, Vav, Daleth. And if you take 4 plus 6 plus 4, you get 14. In Matthew's famous genealogy of Jesus, he shows that there are 14 generations, and then 14 generations, and then 14 more generations until Jesus. That star with the 14 points is meant to say, here was born the line of David, the King of David, to rule over God's people forever. All this shows us that to truly understand Christmas, to get the whole story, more than just Jesus, Mary and Joseph and Bethlehem, we've got to get the whole story. Jesus was born not at the beginning of the story, but in the middle of a story. And that story includes the great wandering in the wilderness, the safety under King David, the fall and destruction, the waiting in exile, the tragedy of the end of the family tree of David, the prophecy of the shoot from the stump, and that announcement of Gabriel that Joseph of the house of David is betrothed to Mary, who will have a son. And he tells Mary, he will be given the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. We pray that we might know well our story, that this Christmas we might indeed prepare the way to give a royal welcome to the coming of the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that indeed we might be good subjects of our great King who is coming.